And now we come to our first feature. Derek James of the Evening News, in his weekly feature, Norwich Through the Decades, reminds us how the use of telephones has changed beyond recognition, as he writes about the old telephone exchanges. His article is read by Sam Elmhurst.
Number, please. Today, many of us live alongside our mobile phones and couldn't imagine life without them. But there once was a time. Telephone operators, exchanges and phone boxes were scattered across Norwich and Norfolk. A large black phone in a house was a luxury, and many of us shared a party line with another family. The idea was that if we picked up our phone and they were talking, we put it down double sharp and tried later. As a boy in the 1950s, I was told it was against the law to listen in. It is said that the first commercial long-distance telephone call in the country was made in 1878 from Norwich. The year before, we carried an advertisement announcing Prof Barrett to lecture on the telephone in Norwich. Now, Prof Barrett brought with him a pair of Bell telephones, which were on loan from Graham Bell, also touring the country. J.J. Coleman was in the chair for the gathering, and the idea was to make a telephone call from Norwich to Cromer. The Prof demonstrated a pair of telephones, which were being sold for the hefty sum of £25, and each one required a tooth powder box, a small bar magnet, a disc of tinned iron, and a small amount of wire. He then tried to make the call to Cromer, but all they heard was a spot of distant mumbling. He blamed it on the weather. And then, the following year, a call was made from Coleman's in Norwich to their offices in London. There was reported to be incessant crackling and bubbling sounds along the 150 miles line along the Great Eastern Railway. So after many talks and demonstrations, the United Telephone Company opened its first exchange in Exchange Street. Mr. Fred Heath worked alongside a clerk, a wireman, and a boy operator, Mr. J.J. Manning. There were 32 subscribers, each of whom paid £20 a year for the service, and they were some of the leading business concerns in the city. By the 1890s, they needed bigger premises and moved to the Haymarket in the city. There was one trunk line at Great Yarmouth and another between Yarmouth and Lowestoft. There were 243 subscribers in all, and the telephone network was of little use for most people. But times were changing apace at the turn of the century. In Norwich, electric lighting was arriving. Streets were being altered to make way for trams, and cables were being laid for telephones. A single line running from the south of Norwich was extended into Suffolk, and in 1903 the telephone company bought the old Norwich Chronicle printing works by the market for £4,500 and got bigger and bigger as the demand for phones grew. The post office took over, and the terrible floods of 1912 caused huge problems for the people and the service across the city and the county. During the First World War and in the following decades, exchanges opened in settlements all over Norfolk. Telephone House, the stunning building on St Giles in Norwich, and now a hotel and designed by George Skipper, was a fitting place for the service to operate from as it continued to expand and more challenges arrived with the Second World War. 15 new airfields were opened by the RAF, and both telephone and teleprinter lines provided. Many overhead routes, which were a flying hazard, had to be moved underground at a time when many of the men were away fighting. Telephones were a lifeline. We were fighting for our lives, and early in 1941, female assistants were taken on to help maintain communications. After the war, the new telephone exchange at St Andrews paved the way for huge expansion, with more people getting and relying on phones for work and for pleasure. And another very human link took place in Norwich in 1964 with the Samaritan service, and 4 years later as Yellow Pages appeared in directories. It was reported in 1974 that the number of lines had increased from 49,000 to 120,000 in 10 years, and while the yearly number of trunk calls increased from more than 7 million to 23 million, the number of staff had only increased from 1,450 to 1,800.